and get ready to roll. Let's do this. What I guess we had to have one. There had to be one joint that we just weren't feeling. And it's weird because I don't know if I'd say I wasn't feeling. It was like the way it left us hanging. And what I'm talking about is the episode Blue Scorpion for, of course, Twilight Zone. It's weird. The actual premise I was digging. You know, we've seen premises like this before where it seems like there is a item that has a spirit or a soul or it's alive in some way, shape, or form. And I wasn't mad at that. I was actually like, word, let's see where we go with this. You know what I'm saying? It's a gun. You can see the names of the people on the bullet and stuff. And it was intriguing, especially the way you could say that the gun solved people's problems. I guess that would be a way to say it, you know, and I was digging that. And most of the story that we dealt with, I guess, concerning Jeff and his wife and the divorce, I was into. And I actually, you know, I started to feel for him because old girl was kind of like going low with her tactics. Like, she wanted, like, you know, like the guitar that she knew his dad, you know, had and everything. Was like, you know, like she wanted to liquidate all of these things that, you know, she knew was, you know, super important to him. And I guess as an extra, you know, kind of like as an extra dig. And weirdly, the whole, you know, bullet's got a name on it. Weirdly, it solved all those problems for him. Like, he was able to get divorced and, you know, kept all the things and saved the family and all, or saved her and her boyfriend and everything. And it seemed like it kind of like cleared him or absolved him from the, I guess, the weight of that situation, which I wasn't mad at. I wasn't mad at, like, you know, meeting all these people named Jeff. I thought that was cool and eerie. And then once again, like I said, the way this gun solves problems or solved people's problems, I thought it was really cool. But unfortunately, the way we ended, you know, the way we kind of like were just left at the end where dude just kind of chucked the gun. I feel like we could have did better than that, man. I feel like he just chucked the gun. Because of course we see how his father's life ended with it, you know, and he didn't know whether he was him or you. And that letter, you know, said, I love him more than I love you. But he actually ended up repeating those words in a way. And I'm not particularly mad at that part either. It's just the way that they handled the end. It was just so abrupt and almost like they just wanted to get it over with. What I would have liked to see is, I mean, a situation where, like, situation similar to, like, Atlanta on FX. You know, like, Donald Glover will have an episode. Sometimes the episode will be 45 minutes. Sometimes the episode will be, like, 52 minutes. Sometimes I would have liked an extra 10 minutes or so to see, you know, that child with the gun, or have 10 more minutes with him kind of epiloguing, deciding on whether he should get rid of the gun or not, getting rid of the gun, and then encountering another problem, you know, with someone with a gun, and maybe that person's name is Jeff or something like that. You know, just something a little more ominous or something a little more weird and cryptic than just tossing the gun and then the gun washes back up on shore and, you know, the kids find it. Because if the kids find it, maybe that kid could have took that gun home and, you know, it's revealed that he has a bully named, you know, I don't know, Alex. And there's a name or whatever that kid's name was on the gun. You know what I'm saying? He has a bully of the same name. You know what I'm saying? something like that, you know, and coming up to him, whether he's going to decide to do it or not, maybe that could be cool. But it just seems like it left us hanging in a very fall flat way. And that kind of got me, because I was into, like, okay, what we going to do next? Like, we solved the divorce thing is over. What is this gun going to do? Is this going to like drive him crazy? Is this going to, you know what I'm saying? Like, what's going to, you know, kind of like happen with this whole gun thing? And it was essentially just like, all right, we're done. So I don't know, man. This one kind of left me wanting the same way the Not All Men episode left me wanting. I think that, well, see, the Not All Men one, I feel like it could have went deeper. And this episode, Blue Scorpion, I think could have expanded upon the lore. So they left me wanting in different ways, but you could have expanded on the gun, or, you know, like, how far the gun, like, is it one person named Jeff? Is there always going to be a Jeff? You know, like, you know, there's ways they could have kind of, like, I guess, expanded on that, the history and the lore around the gun, or, you know, him trying to sell it and seeing that there was an issue with trying to sell it. It could have just been more weird and cryptic at the end, or either more descriptive in a showy way instead of an exposition way. But yeah, that's how I'm feeling about Blue Scorpion, man. I'm not mad at it, but it's definitely like not the strongest of the season. I think it had a lot of promise, but it just didn't come through for me. I'd say everything up until the divorce, the kind of like divorce resolution, I was into. After that, I was just like, man, really? This is all you gonna give a brother? Come on now. All right. What did I tell you? I knew it. They was gonna make Simmons out to be kind of like this sympathetic situation. Like, not only did she end up being right, which, I mean, we kind of already knew she was gonna end up being right. You know, we already knew that. But the whole, like, her apologizing and then, you know, Chloe being like, well, not really Chloe, sorry. Quake being like, oh, no, it's okay. No, it's not okay. You put us in more danger. Like, that Terminator, you know, Terminator version of whatchamacallit that came looking for Fitz, he could have easily killed old boy. I mean, of course, we see that he just knocked him out, but he could have killed him, could have easily killed him. Like, everything that happened from that moment was on her hands. And, like, they immediately got into some trouble. They immediately got shot. And I'm like, yo, how y'all gonna act like you ain't the, like, I ain't the, I mean, like, you ain't the reason I got shot. You know what I'm saying? Bruh, I knew it. I knew they was gonna play her. Like, oh, it's okay. We know you just love Fitz so much. And it's not that I don't care about Fitz's character. I think he's a really dope character. And I like both of them together. If you're new to this podcast, you know, or new to any of my content, I've pulled for them, like, even before they were an item, I was like, yo, man, they need to go on and hook up. So I've always been down for Fitzsimmons to, you know, be a couple. But for her to go to this length and put everyone else in danger, and almost to the point where she doesn't even care about the repercussions in regards to them. Like, she even, like, they even said, like, yo, I got a family at home. I got a kid at home. And she was just like, psh, whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's like, ah, man. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is just an example of other shows. You know, other shows do this all the time, where a main character will do something that affects mad people negatively, but since they're, you know, a protagonist, since they're a hero, they got to figure out a way to flip it where everybody, like, is like, it's okay, or, you know, we understand. It's like, no, sometimes you just got to take them lumps. And they, like, this should be something that broke their trust for quite some time. And going through, like, a little, you know, like, a drug trip to kind of, like, mend the fences is BS. And hopefully, old girl that got shot, since she didn't trip on no drugs, hopefully she's like, we ain't cool. We still ain't cool. And all this, we did get to see Fitz for a second. They did sort of reconnect. But then, of course, the Terminator came in. And yes, I said Terminator because we're going to talk about that in a second. But the Terminator came in and it straight, you know, just took him, you know, teleported out. All right. So let's talk about Terminator for a second. Yo, they ripped off the fake Terminator music. All that. Oh, man. It was... The second I saw it, and I was like, are they doing Terminator music? I mean, I'm not mad at it. That's how Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. gets down. It was just, I was just like, no, they didn't. Like, they knew they was wrong on that one. But one thing I do like about this is the continual knowledge that the Chronicom is getting, I believe I'm pronouncing that right, is getting with Fitz, you know what I'm saying, about people in general. You know, essentially, he's just a watcher. I mean, even though they're not calling him a watcher, because he's not a watcher, but he's essentially a watcher. And seeing him go through this is interesting, you know, and seeing him experiencing these things is interesting, I think, in the course of the show, in the course of where they're going to take him, because I think he's going to stick around for quite some time. Depending on how long they're going to run this show. But I like seeing the digital games. I like seeing the poker play. I mean, it was essentially poker. And then also seeing the game to the death. Now, how should I will say this. If we're supposed to be friends, don't tell me the most... like horrible, I guess, consequences at the last second after I've already started playing. Like, they get to the casino, dude win. He like, oh yeah, you know, I'm good at this. I can, you know, I've never played it, but I've watched it played, so I know the digital games, whatever. Then he was like, oh yeah, I can count this or I can count that and I can do it. And he was doing great at poker. And then he was like, oh, yeah, I can count tiles, blah, blah, blah. It's like, come on, man. Really? Really? When you going to tell me, you should have, when we got there, you should have been like, all right, check it. These are the games that I think we can, you know, run a Boston on and we be good. Also, if I get sold into slavery as a consequence for losing, like, you need to tell me that straight up. Like, I need to know that up front. Like, that shouldn't be something that's, you know, like waiting in the wings for me to just find out, you know, randomly at the end. I need to know that straight up, B. Like, what? Come on, man. You're killing me right now. So, you know, dealing with stuff like that, dealing with Quake, dealing with this BS, I consider it BS. And the reason I would consider it BS is because they use the drug trip as a writing ploy to A, lose track of the Terminator, and B, like, mend the fences real fast without actually dealing with the emotional weight of a betrayal like that and the actual danger she's put them in. And that's what kind of irked me on this one. You know what I'm saying? I'm straight up looking at this joint like yo, y'all got lazy. You know, like, this was a lazy way to kind of, like, solve your problem and be like, oh, well, you know, it's okay now. You know, don't worry about it. It's, you know, they're friends again. You know, they got high and listened to this favorite song and they're like, oh, man. They took two tropes of mine that I don't like and put them together. One trope. Well, actually three. The drug trip friendship, also the song, the, you know, that's my song too kind of like friendship, where it's like these people kind of have an axe to grind. They're angry at each other. They're upset. They have a difference that they need to work out. But they're like, oh, listen to this song. It's so good. Man, it got me. Then you also have the whole protagonist. And because they're a protagonist, the writers don't want you to be angry at them, but so long. So the protagonist almost immediately in the very next episode gets an apology or gets told, no need to apologize. We understand. No, I understand, but I don't accept your apology. You betrayed us. You put us in infinite amounts of danger that we can't even foresee right now. We don't have the food. We don't have the water or juice or whatever. And we don't have the ability to protect ourselves out here. We may not be able to make it home, and you're the reason why. We decided as a crew to leave, and you blew it. And, you know, since she's a protagonist, and this happens to other shows, they were like, oh, I understand. Like, they were mad at her for a total, like, 2 minutes. And then it went back to, like, oh, we're on drugs. Oh, we're happy. You know, like, oh, you should have a boyfriend, too. It's like, man, No. How about this? Handle characters in a real way that normal people would act and have them resolve their differences like that. You know what I'm saying? Because, don't get me wrong, these differences can still be resolved, but they're going to take some time. And broken trust takes time. Have something happen where she has to build her trust back with that team over the duration of this season. It could be more compelling than having a cheap drug trip episode where it was just kind of like one of those gimmicks. It was like one of those like super bad gimmicks where it's like, oh, we're just going to have this drug scene. It just seemed gimmicky to me. But with that said, Fitz in the Chronicom or whatever, I was digging that part of the episode. The whole part of the episode with the drug trip, I was like, nah. The Terminator joint, I was like, come on, bruh, but I was still on board with that. So, I'll be back next week, but you know what I'm saying? That whole thing with Simmons, I'm going to try to let it go unless they touch on it again, but you know what I'm saying? Simmons, she kind of got to me on that one because I would have booted her butt out the airlock for that. All right, maybe not that far, all right? But I definitely would have locked her in a hole or something. Like, she would have been locked up like a mug up in that piece, because a nerd soul don't play when it comes to betrayal, especially out in space. Now, since we on the point of Terminator, you know what I'm saying, and how, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of like tried to steal the music and all that, we got the real deal Holyfield Terminator returning, you know what I'm saying? Terminator Dark Fate. Man, well, there's no fate but what we make. And it seems like in this case, we keep making mistakes. Boy, like, are we ever going to save the future? Or is this war with Skynet a fixed point in history that we just cannot stop? You know what I'm saying? Who knows? But one thing I do know is, boy, that joint looks sweet. Oh, it looked sweet. Yo, old girl at the end that took it to what is it, Gabriel Luna with the sledgehammer? Bruh. When she swung that joint around like, click it, I was, yo, man, if this trailer delivers on what we saw, I mean, if this movie delivers on what we saw in the trailer, I'm going to be very excited when I come out of the theater. I'm going to come out of the theater pumped. Yo, check. All right, let's just imagine this for a second. We got not only Arnold coming back, you know what I'm saying? And honestly, in the most recent movie in Genesis, Arnold wasn't the problem. Arnold actually showed up and, you know what I'm saying, did his thing. You know what I'm saying? So, my problem with that movie is that I feel that, one, Sarah Connor was miscast, and that the pacing felt rushed. Like, they wanted to kind of, like, get to it instead of, like, letting the movie breathe. Maybe, and what I mean by breathe is letting some scenes live a little longer. I've never been a super fan of Jai Courtney, but in this role, he didn't, you know, he didn't, I wasn't mad at him. But I do think the movie felt like it was rushing along. Like it was just trying to get to the point. And I would have liked maybe another 10 or 15 minutes where they kind of like slowed the movie down, where it's like we could have had another intense scene, but not a rushing car chase scene. You know what I'm saying? Like it could have been intense with maybe like the Terminator getting close, hunting them down again, but it just seemed like we got to get to this plot point and this one and this one and this one. And it seemed like it was rushing along. But as far as like the effects and some of the acting performances, I was actually cool with it. I ended up around like a 3-star or something. Like it ended up being like above okay. But this one, boy, we got Arnold coming back. We got your girl, yo, the real Sarah Connor is coming back, and she is not playing games. Like she's not playing games, B. Old girl pulled out, all right, now check this. Shorty pulled out some ill gun, all right? Blocka, blocka, look, that won't enough. Homegirl pulled out the shoulder fire cannon on him. You know what I'm saying? Like, bladoosh. Yo, you ain't see no scarediness in her whatsoever. Yeah, I said scarediness. Don't worry, I know what I'm talking about. Anyway, like I was saying, she, man, okay. When I was little, what represented strong women on film to me was first, your girl Claire, you know what I'm saying? Claire Huxtable, because she didn't play. But see, she didn't play in like a corporate sense because she was a lawyer. She ain't play. Then you had Ripley, because remember Aliens, she ain't play. And then you had Sarah Mother Connor. And she ain't play neither. And those were like the women that when I was little, I was like, yo, man, those are three women I would not cross. Because remember, like with Claire Huxtable, she was on the corporate end. But even that time, what was it? Vanessa went to like Baltimore or something. And she wasn't supposed to go. And they ended up getting like, they lost the car. Something got stolen. And then when she came back and Claire Huxtable almost killed her. You know what I'm saying? That she was scary. All right. And then you had Aliens when she was like, get away from her, you know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna do this, family show. But, and you know what I'm saying? Sarah Connor, the way she rolled up on Miles Dyson's house, son, that ain't nothing but gangster. So, with that said, we coming back to one of my OG women, you know what I'm saying? And the thing that I love about her is, look, how many words you get from Sarah Connor in this trailer? She ain't got no time for talking. Like, what gotta be said? You got to die. Well, I guess it's a robot, so it's not really dying. It's like you got to be decommissioned. I don't know. That doesn't sound as cool. All right, I'm going to go back to die. You got to die. All right. You got to pay. You got to pay. You know what I'm saying? You got to go down. I ain't playing with you. Shoot, what you think this is? What? I mean, for real, what do you think this is? I ain't playing no games with y'all. So, all right, we got the new Terminator. You know what I'm saying? The new, the young girl. We see she got like a biomesh cybernetic weave or something with the tri-skin layer weave. It like wicks it. It wicks all the sweat. It like wicks bullets or whatever. All right, so that's her version of Terminator. But she ain't the only new Terminator. Oh, Gabriel Luna, she threw the spear, bust him right in the chest. He said, oh, I ain't tripping on that. Oh, I could copy myself. I was like, my dude. When he was copying, I was like, oh, snap. Like, for you to be able to either copy yourself or duplicate yourself or whatever, I don't know to what extent. I mean, he's probably not like multiple man, but I mean, still, even to do a double of yourself, even for a short period of time, is super sick. So I don't know how long he can sustain it or how it's gonna work. They'll explain that in the movie, but I was just like, yo, two Terminators is a problem. No, straight up, one Terminator has been a problem. Look at these last movies. You got Terminator, the original Terminator, just Terminator, all right? This regular one. That was one Terminator, all right? That's a problem. Then you got Terminator 2. That's just one Terminator. And he was fighting against another Terminator, and it was still hard, all right? Then you got Rise of the Machines. Yeah, don't, hey, look, I'm a fan, so I know we got Rise of the Machines. And actually, the message of Rise of the Machines, I'm not mad at. The movie did have some glaring issues, but I will say I'm not mad at the message. Because the message essentially stated, like, yo, look, Judgment Day comes. Like, you can't stop it. Like, that's it. Judgment Day comes. That's just what it is. We're just going to try to do our best to be prepared when it does arrive. You know what I'm saying? So, all right, back to what I'm saying. So, we got Rise of Machines. That was just one. All right, now it was a Terminator that could control other machines. But still, that was just one Terminator. Then you go to, Salvation did have Mad Terminators. All right, so, all right, I guess I won't count that one. All right, so that one did have Mad Terminators. It was like Terminators all over the place. But, and they had that, ooh, that ill sweet scene on the, like, the bridge or whatever, where it was like the big robot came. All right, that was kind of cool. All right, so, but that was a whole bunch of Terminators and robots. All right, so that one, you did have more Terminators. But then you got Genesis, still one Terminator. So in this one, now you're getting hunted down by two, but it's all good. You want to know why? Because we got two Terminators on our own, son. We got Arnold Terminator, all right? And we got the new young lady Terminator, and she knows how to swing that sledgehammer. Yo, that sledgehammer, I was like, son, that was straight killer. And old girl said, like, yo, how do we win? We win by surviving. You know what I'm saying? We win. That's how we win. We survive. That's all we got to do. You know what I'm saying? And I guess the new young lady is maybe John Connor has died, and this is maybe one of his generals, or maybe she's Jeanette Carter. I don't know. Look, I don't know what the girl's name is. I haven't gone to IMDb. I ain't going all that deep. I'm just saying, from the trailer, it looks sweet. I'm happy that Terminator is back. I'm happy that they're continuing the lore, whether this is a kind of like Genesis where this is another timeline or whatever. I'm just happy to see the lore continue because I've always enjoyed Terminator as a sci-fi action thriller because I think it has that staying power. It has that, just that feel of, you know, scare tactics from like technology and the horror of like not knowing who to trust when it comes to like Terminators that, you know, can change and stuff. It's got all that wrapped up in it, and it's really dope. And I've always thought it was just entertaining. I remember I never saw Terminator, the first Terminator, in theaters. The second Terminator is what made me want to get into film and filming things and, you know, covering movies and watching movies and just the whole shebang. Like, I saw Terminator 2 and it changed my life. It was just everything, man. The acting, the action, the music, the direction, that thing changed me. Like, I mean, I already like, you know, movies just in general. Like, oh, yeah, movies are cool. But when I saw Terminator 2, I was like, this is a movie. You know what I'm saying? I was like, I came out pumped. I came out hyped. And I think that was a movie. I don't think I had come out of a theater as pumped as I was in anything else. You know what I'm saying? So that's why, like, Terminator 2 will always, you know, be... It'll just always be one of those things that just I'll always love. You know what I'm saying? I remember when my uncle took me to see it. I never forget. My uncle was taking my brother and a couple of my cousins or whatever out to the movies. And my mom was like, don't take them to see no Terminator. And he took us to see Terminator anyway. And we saw Terminator 2, and it was just the bombest movie I had seen. It just blew my mind. And I saw it in a theater in Chesapeake Town Square. That's right, Chesapeake, Virginia, Chesapeake Town Square. That's right, VA, 2 up, 2 down, 757, representing, you know what I'm saying? It blew my mind. I was just a little young boy. It blew my mind, took it to another level, and I've loved Terminator ever since. And seeing this trailer gives me those same vibes, man. The same vibes, like I'm gonna be in the theater like, oh snap, because Tim Miller in, like, you know, you looking at this and it's like, yo, it looks like they made the right choice. We got James Cameron back in a more of a serious involved role. He's not directing it, but I think he's producing, and I believe he's also writing this. But I'll have to look at the trailer again. But I want to say that the screenplay is by him, or because I think they flashed up on the screen like screenplay by James Cameron or written by James, like something like that. So, man, I'm not mad at this at all. I'm not mad at this at all. Super hype. Please let me know that you hype too, because this yo, come on, man. Look at that trailer. Come on, man. Really? Sarah Connor coming through? Bruh, Sarah Connor came through with a bazooka, son. Like, that's it. That's the game. When Sarah Connor comes through with a bazooka, you just gotta like it. You, man, I don't understand how there's a thumbs down on that video. I'm like, did they see the bazooka? But anyway, guys, my mind is now blown, but my body is ready to get up in that theater. All right, back it up. Going back it up. All right. Ah, boy. Good drive.